How do you do? The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes lead to all kinds of trouble, as the man in this story learned. From his father, he learned violence and cursing. From his schoolmates, he learned prejudice and bullying. But along the way, he learned there was someone who loved him when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Keep up with me, kids. I've got to get home and get supper started. Bob and Lee is running this way.
Maggie, I was just coming to fetch you. I got bad news, girl. Your house burned down.
What? Oh, it can't be.
It happened so fast. It seemed like something exploded.
Declaring the way, the truth, and the life. This is Unshackled. True stories of real people dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It's easy to look away from an impoverished person asking for help, but they don't look away at Pacific Garden Mission. Since 1877, they have opened their door and their hearts to those who need help. Each day, hundreds of men, women, and children are welcomed and receive hearty meals, fresh clothing, and a safe bunk for the night, all without charge thanks to friends who send financial gifts. Even medical and dental care is given to resident guests in the mission clinic. Pastors and counselors introduce them to the one who gives power to the weak, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Now for broadcast around the earth. Here is program number 3253 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mr. Watkins?
That's me. What can I do for you?
I'm with the FBI. I'd like to ask you a few questions about the gas pipeline explosion that burned your house 2 days ago.
I built that house for my son and his family.
So I've learned. Were you at home at the time of the fire?
No, I was at work. I own the sawmill down the road.
Do you know if anybody was in the house that burned?
Don't reckon. My son's wife and kids were here visiting my wife.
And your son?
He was at work.
Mr. Watkins, look at this map.
Hmm?
I see that the pipeline is like the top of a T, which is north of your place here, and of the house that exploded.
That's right.
Well, odd that the explosion happened there instead of here. Your house is closer to that pipeline.
I reckon you'll get to the bottom of it.
We're at war, Mr. Watkins. It could be sabotage.
In the hills of Kentucky?
We'd like to talk to your son. Is he here?
No, sir, he isn't.
Daddy Watkins, have you seen Sam?
I'm told he took his clothes and hightailed it out of here, Maggie.
Took his clothes, but everything burned in the fire.
Well, he must have got his clothes out before the fire started.
Do you know where he's going?
No, he heard about those FBI agents snooping around.
I don't understand.
Well, rumor is Jesse and Sam conspired to blow up the house to collect the insurance. They were going to split the money.
What?
Yeah, they say Jesse done the same thing some years ago. Seems like he got scared and cut a deal with the FBI to save his hide. He ratted on Sam.
How could Sam do that to us?
Well, if it's true, my son is worthless.
The man in our story was 5 years old when his father betrayed the family. This story reveals the impact on him. The true testimony of Kenneth Watkins. Right now on Unshackled.
I remember standing by the smoldering ruin of our house, Mom weeping for hours after the fire. Although Dad removed his clothes before the fire, we were left with nothing. I was the firstborn with a younger sister and brother. We lived in the hills near my dad's parents, and we'd walked to visit them that afternoon. Dad disappeared right after the FBI came around, leaving Mom devastated. Dad's parents let us live with them, but after several months, Granny made us leave. Mom put our meager belongings in a brown paper bag, and we were trudging down the road, Mom sobbing, when her sister, Annie, drove up.
Where are you going, Maggie?
Sam's mother asked us to leave, Annie. She told me to take the kids and go.
Well, why would she do something like that?
She says they've done all they could for us.
I thought they were Christians.
They have been generous to us, but where am I supposed to go?
Well, get in the car and I'll take you up to our old house. It's sitting empty. There's even a cellar full of potatoes there. I just drove down to check on the house, and then I'm going back to Ohio.
We lived in my aunt's house about 3 years before my aunt and uncle returned and took Mom aside. I was 8 by then and listened as they talked.
What have you heard from Sam?
Well, he sent me $35 in cash about 2 years ago. The envelope was unlocked, so I don't know where he is.
Oh, he's a louse. Maggie, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to move out. We need to sell this place.
Well, I appreciate what you've done. I don't know where we'll move now.
Well, we have that little garage over by the road where Danny used to work on cars. You can stay there till we sell the place if you want.
All right. I thank Danny and you for your help.
It's not very big, but it's 2 rooms and it has a pot-bellied stove inside.
Mom scrubbed the grease off the walls and floor, and she papered the walls with newspapers. We lived in that 8x12-foot garage for 3 years. The garage had a normal-sized door built into a garage door that rolled up, but the place stood next to a dirt road, and dust from the passing cars rolled in if we lift the door open. We lay on blankets on the floor while Mom read the Bible to us every night.
So the last of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Covet means to want?
Yes, to want what doesn't belong to you.
Well, those kids at school sure don't know about that. If I draw their names for the Christmas exchange, they grab the name I drew and give me some poor kid's name.
Well, we can't afford to buy no gifts, son, and they know it. That's just the way it is. Now let's pray.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
Well, we prayed that simple prayer in unison, and every Sunday we kids walked to the only church in the valley, one my paternal grandpa had built. He'd been a school teacher. One night, someone took a stick and raked it along the wall outside, scared us so badly. Mom asked me to help her move a workbench against the door, and we huddled together for a long time. One day, we woke up in the morning. There stood my father.
Well, there's my little family.
Sam, where'd you come from?
I caught a bus from Chicago.
Chicago?
Yep, I got a job working for the railroad. I'm a track foreman now.
Why didn't you send us some money to provide for our needs?
I sent you $85.
Last year?
Takes money to live in a big city, Maggie.
How long you staying?
A day or two, but I gotta stay hid. I caught a bus, but I got off a couple miles away and walked here through the hills the rest of the way. I don't think anybody saw me.
Kids, don't tell anybody about your father's visit.
I won't, but Grady keeps asking where you are, Dad. I always say I don't know. One day at school, he choked me to the ground trying to force me to tell him. We attended a one-room school, and Grady was the grandson of the man who conspired with my father. Dad stayed a few days in Lyft one night the same way he arrived, by stealth. Not long after that, Aunt Maggie and Uncle Danny sold the property, and we had to move again. Mom went weeping to her mother, who lived a quarter mile away. Grandma had an old abandoned house on their property up the valley, and a neighbor with a mule team and a wagon moved us there.
Oh, Only two rooms, but it provides a roof over our heads.
I like that double stone fireplace between the bedrooms.
Most of the heat will go up in the chimney.
Well, how are we going to heat this place, Ma?
Well, your grandma says you boys can dig for coal in the hollows. Oh, this is great. The cast iron stove will cook our meals and help us to keep warm. Oh, it even has hot water reservoirs so we can have hot water.
Well, how far is the coal mine, Ma?
Oh, a mile up the valley.
Well, go get some coal now so you can cook, Ma.
Your grandma left us a pick to use. Take the bucket and take your brother to help you.
We were desperately poor. Every day my brother and I walked a mile to the coal mine and then waded 20 feet in black coal water up to our knees to pick up enough coal for our family. We had a small garden in the summer and Mom canned food for the winter. Our clothes had patches on patches, but we walked to church almost every Sunday. Mom rarely went with us because she had no decent clothes to wear.
Folks, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 couldn't be more plain, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary's cross, and you will be saved. Give your life to Christ, and he will take and make you what you ought to be. But if you do not get saved, then hell is your eternal home. And woe to any man who rejects the Lord.
Wait a minute. If God is God, he should be able to keep you from falling away. God, if you will let me live long enough to know what the truth is, one day I will serve you.
Seven years after the fire burned our house, Dad came walking down the road. We kids shouted, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," as we ran to meet him. Bodies were so thin from malnutrition, but he didn't notice. He laughed and threw packs of gum down on the road that we scooped up. He carried no baggage except his alcohol addiction, but the statute of limitations had expired, so he was home to stay. There was no limitation on the misery he brought because of his drinking.
In a moment, we'll hear how his dad's return affected them. Unshackled is a wonderful blessing and a great way to lead people to the Lord. That's one of hundreds of emails we receive here at Pacific Garden Mission. Others read, "We love you guys and pray that many more are saved through your ministry." And a university student writes, "Thanks for Unshackled, because I wouldn't have truly known who Jesus Christ was if it wasn't for your efforts. And I got saved after listening to your programs for a week." Unshackled reaches people of all ages and from all different backgrounds, like this child who writes, "I am 9 years old, and I love to listen to Unshackled every day, sometimes even twice a day." Or this individual who writes, "I've recently been disabled, and I rest at home most of the time, a lifestyle very foreign to me. I always listen to Unshackled. It encourages me. So I want to encourage you to continue your program." Another man writes us saying, "I'm a trucker who travels over the road for usually a week or so at a time. I am fortunate often to be able to scan the dial and locate some Christian programming, and when I do, I look forward to Unshackled. It reminds me of my sin and need for the Savior. I am a believer, but struggle with a lot of issues common to men and this industry. Keep up God's work." That's just what we desire to do. Through the prayerful support of our friends, we hope to continue the great tradition of Unshackled, as one radio network manager stated, for years to come. Tell others about us, and let us hear from you today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Dad worked seasonal jobs, painting houses and coal mining. He was a good carpenter who built houses for neighbors, but he drank up most of his earnings. He hid bottles around the house and yard, and Mom would pour them out when she found them, which earned her a beating. Mom had to fight for every dollar she got from Dad.
What do you think you're doing? Going through my pockets?
I need money for food, Sam.
That's my money. I earned it, not you.
Let go.
You let go. You're not getting one dime now.
Oh, you hurt me.
Serves you right.
He's gone now, Ma.
Took the last of the money. I couldn't pry it out of his hands.
Why is he like that, anyhow?
Some man just can't handle liquor. It controls your dad.
I'm never going to drink like that.
You kids shouldn't get involved when we fight. He might hurt you.
When Sis hit him on the head with that bottle, I thought sure he'd pass out, but it didn't faze him one bit.
Don't tell anybody how he acts when he's drinking. I don't want people talking about us.
They already do, Mom. We always lived in fear that Dad would come home drunk and beat Mom. He'd throw dishes, turn over tables, throw chairs. School was an agony of shame as our poverty stood out beside the other kids' better shoes and clothes. I won numerous spelling bees even against much older students, so I wasn't stupid. Mom taught me math, and I did well, but I knew I wasn't ready for high school, so in the eighth grade, I talked with my teacher.
What can I do for you, Ken?
Oh, Miss Vilma, I'll be taking the exam for high school soon. I'm not prepared. I really want to go to high school. Will you teach me?
Of course. Yes, Kenneth. Here, take this book on grammar and study it at home. Everything depends on speaking and writing standard English. You understand subject-verb agreement, so I'll coach you in other aspects of grammar. And I'll coach you in how to take multiple choice tests.
Well, thank you, ma'am. My teacher helped me and I passed the entrance test. She told me I had one of the higher scores, but even in high school I faced ridicule and prejudice. Twin brothers had a habit of going past me in study hall and sticking their fingers in my ear. I took one of them outside, knocked him out cold.
Oh, man, that was great, Ken. Just like a cowboy move.
You think I killed him?
No, almost, though.
Hey, he's coming too already.
His mouth is all bloody, but he'll live.
You bet he won't mess with me again.
You look out, Ken. If looks could kill, you'd be dead.
I'm not afraid of him or his brother. Violence became my reaction to any perceived insult or threat. I had a vile temper, just like my dad. But then two more siblings were born to my parents, and we older ones kept going to church, walking down the valley to the church that my dad's father had built.
Romans chapter 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, this whole piece of scripture in John chapter 14 is where Jesus talks about how we have the Holy Spirit living inside us when we are born again. Jesus said, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." But you must be born again. The Lord Jesus emphasized that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
One night, walking home from church, we were caught by a thunderstorm about a mile from home. We ran to the garage where we had once lived, and the door was up, so we slipped inside. We stood there with lightning and thunder all around when Mom suddenly stepped inside with us. Mom, you scared us. What are you doing out here?
I brought you an umbrella so you could get home.
We're already soaked.
I brought you some coats, too. Here, put them on.
Where's Dad?
He's at home.
I remember when we used to live here, Mom.
Yeah, the Lord was watching over us. He helped us to survive.
Last night I found a bottle Dad hid outside the back door. I was sitting at the kitchen table when he came in, so I went outside, felt behind the steps, and there it was. I poured the liquor out and refilled it with water.
Ken, he would hurt you if he knew.
He was too drunk. Went back through the house, sat down at the table again. Before long, he went outside, took a long drink. Was he surprised? He threw the bottle against the wall, smashed it. Probably thought the bootlegger cheated him.
Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Mom, what do you think it means to be born again?
I'm not sure, son. But I know that I don't want to go to hell. And if I miss heaven, I've missed it all. I've sure missed out in this life.
Although Mom had professed faith in Christ, she had no assurance of salvation and worried about going to hell. She didn't cling to the words of Jesus when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Dad was hired to paint the inside of the school one summer and had a close call.
That Grady kid tried to kill me last night.
What'd it do?
I worked a while and I lay down on the floor to rest a spell. Grady come in. He must have thought I was passed out. He ordered up some papers and put them around me. I was watching him out the slits of my eyes. When he got me surrounded, he set the paper on fire. I grabbed him by the wrist.
Sam, you might have died.
Yeah, he cursed me, called me every name he could think of. So I told him he didn't belong to the man he called Daddy. He belonged to some other man. Then I let him go. I put out the fire.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
You can say that again. Pride goeth before fall, my daddy always said. So I'll have me another drink.
Sammy, did any of the letters I wrote reach you? We needed your help.
Yeah, I got them. One day the super and some other guys were sitting in a railroad car gambling, and one guy picked up one of your letters, and he read it.
You let him read my letter?
And nothing wrong with that. He said, "Sam, you shouldn't be in here gambling your money away. You have a family." I told him, "Shoot fire, they don't matter. Don't worry about it."
My dad didn't have a conscience at that time. He had numerous affairs with prostitutes, even other men's wives, humiliating Mom by driving right past our house with him. Once when Dad came home, Mom went through his pockets looking for money. What she found surprised her.
Hey, Mom, I'll hoe the garden for you.
You just got home from school, son. Take a biscuit first.
Okay, but I'll do the hoeing. You have enough work to do.
I found something in your dad's pocket last night.
What?
Insurance quotes on all our lives. Mine, yours, your sister, and brother.
Life insurance?
Yes.
Well, how much money?
$100,000.
When did we ever mean that much to him?
You know he can't live without us. Who would take him in?
Nobody. Because nobody would put up with his drinking. I continued in high school. Dad kept drinking. When I was 16, he came home drunk one night and threw a quart jar at Mom, hitting her in the right elbow, shattering the jar in her elbow, nearly severing her arm. She walked to the neighbor's house where they dressed her arm. For months, Mom's bandage arm hung limply at her side, but she kept cooking, doing laundry and gardening with one arm. She almost never regained the use of her arm. Dad came home another night during that time and kicked Mom. I threw a quart jar at him with all my might.
Kenneth, the Bible says to honor your father and mother. You were wrong, son.
I'm sick of them beating on you. I'll help you clean up the glass.
That jar split in the wood. Think what it would have done to his head. You might have killed him.
He's got to stop being so mean to you, Ma.
Kenneth, don't become like him.
I won't, Mom. But we've endured his cruelty far too long. That night, knowing that Dad would come in the back door, I snuck around the front and waited for him with my baseball bat. Mom sensed what I was planning. and she came up behind me and grabbed the bat.
Kenneth, you don't want to kill your dad. Now come back inside and let the good Lord take care of matters. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
I've always been glad that Mom kept me from harming my father, even though, like most children of alcoholics, I suffered from cold, hunger, and loneliness. I graduated from high school and could at last get away from the misery at home.
Now that you've finished high school, son, what do you plan to do?
Well, I'm thinking about joining the military.
Your dad is drinking up almost everything he earns.
I know.
I need help getting the other kids through school.
Well, I'll enlist in the Army and send you half my paycheck, Mom.
I don't want you to go away, Kenneth.
I can make out an allotment for you, but don't tell Dad.
That sure would help, son. Just be sure you don't take to drinking in the Army.
I won't, Mom. I enlisted in the Army for 3 years right out of high school. Sent Mom half my paycheck every month. I finished basic and then trained on twin rotor helicopters. Had 30 days leave at home before I was shipped to South Korea.
Next week, we'll hear the conclusion of Ken's testimony and how his youth prepared him for a life of conflict and challenge. What about you, listening friend? Are you prepared for life's challenges? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Don't miss out on God's abundant plan for your life that begins at salvation. He's waiting to hear your prayer. Let us know if you need help with this crucial decision. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. The telephone number in Chicago: 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. "I love Unshackled," a listener writes. "It has helped me in many ways." We encourage you to let the manager of this station know how much you enjoy hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3253. Heard in the true story of Kenneth Watkins, part one, were David Brian Stewart, Mickey Nelson, Rick Plastina, Gary Brichetto, Judy LaRose, and Don Stroop. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Hearing from you is a blessing. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.